T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Caitlin Clark should take every opportunity in her path, including a reported $5 million being offered to her by Ice Cube's Big Three. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yes, everything I just said is correct. $5 million for 10 total games. This is Ice Cube, the rapper, who has a 3-on-3 basketball league. He's had it for a while now. It's generally guys who are after, you know, in their post-NBA career. They go around the country kind of barnstorming a little bit. They play each other in these tournaments. They've got coaches who are former coaches or former players. And now he wants to offer Caitlin Clark this groundbreaking contract, Perloff. I say take it. If this is real, take the $5 million, Caitlin.
You don't need $5 million. Caitlin Clark's brand is so big that this $5 million is not worth it. You're going to sit out there and you're going to go one-on-one with Cat Mobley and all these former NBA yeah. players. I just think it makes you look kind of lame because I don't think she's not a normal basketball player. She's going to be able to make millions in endorsements. I think eventually she's going to lift the boat in WNBA. She does not need the money. She's not going to need the money. And this is, I don't know, I like the Big Three. It's fine. But I think this waters her down, who she is. You know, she has this trajectory to be a real impact historical player in the WNBA. You got to take that seriously. Like, if it was an NBA player or somebody, you know, say it was a star in men's college basketball, you would never say this. So it almost feels like a sideshow.
Well, I actually love this for her because it's easy to say turn down the money when it's not you. I mean, $5 million is amazing. And to be fair to Ice Cube, he's brought in a lot of very high power and influential women to be a part of the Big Three. Our pal Amy Trask is part of the executive team. Nancy Lieberman is a part of this team, who is obviously a trailblazer. And Lisa Leslie is part of this. So you're associating yourself with really high class, high character people.
Who are retired.
Well, but you still would be out there playing. And by the way, I think she could play in the WNBA too. Like, if you can also play in the WNBA, whose season might conflict, maybe you could do both. Why limit Caitlin Clark just because it's an unconventional path to a payday?
Yeah, it just feels kind of, I don't know, like, as I said, a sideshow. It doesn't feel like a serious move by a serious player who wants to be a game changer in the WNBA. To go what she does, the Big Three, then I think it just feels like a bit of a circus. To me, it does anyway.
But here's the alternative, right? And this is an unfortunate part about women's hoops right now, which is Caitlin Clark will be the number one overall pick for the Indiana Fever, and her starting salary will be $75,000.
Right.
And she can't even get to $100,000 just by her player salary. She can't get to 100 in less than 4 years. She can sign marketing deals and do all that, but this is a league, unfortunately, where the pay forces you in many ways to have a second job. That's why so many women go overseas and play in the off season in places like Russia, which is not going to happen now after Brittany Griner, but in Turkey and in all these different places, they have to go make their money elsewhere and rearrange their lives for that. Caitlin Clark would be able to stay home, stay in the United States, have a huge payday, and you're playing against like former NBA players. I know they're retired, but these are good people. Like, you're not slumming it. You know, these are recognizable former all-stars and stars.
But she's got to be making at least a million off that State Farm commercial. That's on every single minute of the day. I think she can be a millionaire several times over, even with that salary. She is going to be the face of the WNBA. It just feels a little unserious to me. Mm. Feels almost like if you bring this into her resume, then all of a sudden the WNBA is not as big a deal. Waters down, like, we get to see her elsewhere, then why is everybody going to tune in? And by the way, I am doubling down on that bet that we had that her ratings, if she makes the Final Four, are going to be way bigger than the men's, because the highest rated second round game of both tournaments was Caitlin Clark by far. She blew away the men. I just think that demand for her is going to be there whether or not she does a big three. So I think if she does a big three, then all of a sudden her being the WNBA is not as special. She's got to be very careful about her brand here, and I don't think this helps her brand.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. It's like, I don't think that, like, putting yourself in the box, like, a lot of people don't, you know, aren't so tuned in to, you know, the WNBA playoffs, WNBA finals. That league is still
not
growing.
Not yet. Okay. But nobody was tuned in to women's college basketball anywhere near where they are right now.
Okay, well, I just don't understand why, if she might be, like, lifting the whole league.
Definitely.
But that's also, like, not on her shoulders. That shouldn't... The WNBA is still, like, in its infancy, relatively. It's, like, 25 years old, right? So we're still a young league compared to the men's leagues. But it shouldn't be her burden to try to... She's already going to be one of the faces of the league the moment she steps on the floor. But it shouldn't be her burden to, like, quote-unquote, like... You know, that she can't water down her brand, according to you, by going to do this other thing that gives her this big cash windfall. That doesn't hurt the WNBA. It's the WNBA's responsibility also to keep growing their game and to keep raising the level of what it means to be a WNBA champion. That's on the league. You can't pin that on one player.
Well, I don't even think you have to pin that on. I think it's just going to happen, because I saw a stat during the Iowa game. Who did Iowa go to? The West Virginia.
Yeah.
That... Since Caitlin Clark's gotten in the league, they've sort of increased their ratings by 40% every year. That's going to happen with WNBA. I'm telling you, she's going to bring eyeballs to WNBA. And with that, it's going to become plenty of marketing opportunities. She's going to have enough money. She'll be a broadcaster. She does not need the money. So the $5 million to me is not such a game changer. Where the downside of this is, it'll be like, you know, first of all, you're like, oh, she played in the big three with retired men. It was kind of cool, but... Do I really need to? Do I take it as seriously anymore? I wouldn't.
Listen, you're going to give me the $5 million in the bank account. I know you're saying, you know, endorsements and broadcasting. According to ESPN, the very famous journalist Wright Thompson did a long profile of Caitlin Clark. In that article, it said she was making about $850,000 this year in endorsements. Right. So
it's that's nice. Just going to grow.
No, it's nice. Believe me, that it is. Although that remains to be seen. Because I do think there's a part of this Caitlin Clark story, there's a chance that her celebrity is peaking now. And so that's why I would take this if I were her, because there is clearly this appetite for her in women's college hoops. Are we sure that's going to follow her to the WNBA? You cannot say for certain that the casual fan she picked up playing at Iowa is going to follow to the WNBA. And once again, we're talking about Caitlin Clark has an offer, according to former or current rapper Ice Cube, who runs the Big Three, the three-on-three basketball tournament that features retired NBA players, that he has made an offer to her to participate in their league, and he will pay her $5 million.
Okay, we're avoiding a more interesting question about this. How would she do in this league?
That's another fun one.
I wonder... You know, it's a serious league, but I wonder, would they try to take advantage of the weight advantage? Would they get a switch on her and have a 6'8" former NBA player come down? What is she, 6 feet tall?
Yeah.
And what does she weigh? Probably.
I don't know.
Probably 140.
Like,
I think
Tony Allen coming at her, closing out. One of the guys.
Yeah, I saw a headline where somebody was talking about, what if Reggie Evans, Reggie Evans is in every three-on-three league. What if he's 6'9", 250, gets switched on, as how is she going to cover? That would be fun. I mean, I think that, but that's, again, you get a little bit into some sideshow stuff with that, because it's going to be so much attention. Oh, if she does poorly, then it proves that men are better than women. Oh, if she does well, that I just think that there's a lot of distractions. She was on such a great trajectory. She had this incredible college career, and then she was going to be the number one pick in the WNBA, and it's very serious. And to do this, you're getting it. It kind of feels like a Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs kind of battle of the sexes vibe here that I don't know that she needs.
Well, the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs is like an like a moment in American history for women.
But does Caitlyn need all that hype?
You know, no, I don't think so. But that'd be a risk I'd be willing to take for $5 million. You know, and I think that it's, you know, maybe everyone now knows my price. Like, everyone has a price, and I don't think that she could be embarrassed here. I think that she would just be competing. And listen, I'm like looking at, you know, for example, Gary Payton is the coach on one of these teams. You're telling me you can't pick up a thing or two from Gary Payton just being around these guys too? It's not you're
Gary Payton in a 3-on-3 league? No, nothing that helps you in the WNBA.
Well, I'm just saying Gary Payton is a basketball mind and a brain I would like to pick. And Rick Barry, I mean, there's other, you know, coaches in here who that, you can glean something from. That's what I'm saying. You
so
play
that,
for
that
one of these
10 teams. Game stretch.
I'm just saying. Maybe that's the weakest of my points, but that would be one I would use to say I can still grow, even if this feels like a sideshow. If I get on a team with a Hall of Famer like Gary Payton, I'm going to pick something up from that. That's not a negative to me. And I don't think that, you know, if she gets her shot blocked by, I don't know, Swaggy
Gerald, P. Gerald Green's in this.
I don't think all of a sudden that means her career is diminished.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot going on. I bet she says no. Which is funny because $5 million, I think she's not going to do it. Because I do think that she was, you know, everything was shaping up perfectly here. She's going to go hopefully on a deep tournament run.
Yep.
And then she's going to get drafted number one overall. And then her first game is going to be the highest rated WNBA game in history. This is all working according to plan. Why blow it up? Why blow it up with this sort of sideshow? Because there's too much downside. Even $5 million after taxes, depending where they do this. I mean, I just don't think it's
Please
worth it.
Please give me that problem. I worry that, $5 million after taxes.
And I do. I kind of disagree with you on one thing. What's I do that? Think she feels a burden to the sport, and I think that she takes that very seriously.
Why can't she do both?
Because
it doesn't hurt the WNBA. if she's also competing in the big three.
I think her pro debut needs to be in the WNBA. I think it's important.
This was from Ice Cube again. Caitlin Clark being offered $5 million by Ice Cube's Big Three to play in their league. This is his quote. America's women athletes should not be forced to spend their off seasons playing in often dismal and dubious foreign countries just to make ends meet. And they should have more than just one professional option in the U.S. at a time when American pro sports leagues are being infiltrated by autocratic anti-woman regimes such as Qatar. Our path-breaking offer to Caitlin Clark demonstrates that Big Three now offers another choice for athletes.
So wait, so that means that he's going to bring in lots of women?
I think he maybe not just Caitlin. Maybe he's making offers now to other stars of the league. Maybe Angel Reese gets a...
Or that's a very...
different skill set.
Very friendly read on Ice Cube here. Or maybe he wants to pay $5 million to Caitlin Clark to get all those eyeballs on his league.
Could
is that
both.
Possible?
Could be both.
In
America, it could be both? No, it's... Ice Cube is marketing here.
As much as I think it would be very fascinating to see Caitlin Clark playing against men in a professional league, because this is what it is, there is something Mickey Mouse cartoonish about it being 3-on-3. Like when we talk about the greatest players of their generations, of eras, of all time, typically we're ranking them among playing 5-on-5 basketball.
Right.
Like
she'll do that too, though.
Yeah, but I think it becomes a little bit sideshow-esque. And I don't want to disrespect the Big Three because I actually like the Big Three and I've watched the Big Three. And I obviously like Ice Cube's a legend. But, like, I don't know. I think it adds a little sideshow to Caitlin that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
she's already a big enough star.
We were talking yesterday about the Olympic team for United States 3-on-3. Jibba Fredette's on there. And Jibba Fredette can't even get a 10-day contract anymore in the NBA. So it definitely is a level below.
I think that if you had a thing where we're talking about all things being equal, and again, this is Caitlin Clark being offered $5 million to play on Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball league. If you were going to say, listen, you're going to a league that's where you're also going to be stepping into this kind of money. You know, the NBA draft picks step into $20 million the moment their name is called, right? It's like game-changing, life-changing money, and they deserve it. But if you were saying all things being equal, do you want to participate in this more gimmicky league? I'd be like, all right, well, all things be equal. All things aren't equal. And that's the world we're living in now. And Caitlin has a chance to make a lot of money, but she might not be looking at this kind of money this quickly. It's going to take a while to get to $5 million if you're just playing women's hoops in women's leagues. And in terms of the endorsements and stuff, yeah, sometimes you make $50 million in endorsements, and sometimes it's more like $50,000. It's all nice, but again, I think people think Caitlin Clark is making millions and millions right now when she's not clearing a million.
Well, here's the thing, too. If she plays poorly, then that hurts her future earnings capability. Because I think she's on a pretty good path, in my opinion, here to go number one in WMA. She's going to get ads forever. I mean, her and Jimmy Butler saying, did someone say shot? That's super fun. She's very marketable. I don't think she needs this. If she gets completely shut down, say the guys go on a mission and really, really, like they're doing right now in the NCAA tournament, start face guarding her 45 feet away from the basket, and she doesn't score. There's a downside to this, okay, too, for sure.
So have you heard of the expression, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? So you're saying Caitlin Clark could have endorsements till the end of time. That's never guaranteed. And we're already seeing stars behind her who she's like the mold breaker in terms of the logo threes, but you're already seeing stars who are coming up behind her who are also shooting. There's a chance where she's going to, you know, just like all of sports, what's next? Who's the new flavor of the month? Who's the next big thing? And you can never count on marketing ad dollars to be there all the time. And if she gets embarrassed in the big three, well, I got $5 million to play basketball, and I think I'm laughing last here. I don't think that, you know, $5 million, I don't think her pride would be, like, so hurt. Because, again, she's also going to be playing in the WNBA in theory.
I think her career is bigger than that. I don't think she needs this $5 million. Easy for me to say. I think she's just so much more than anybody else who's come before her in that sport. It was I think it was the right time, right place. But she is going to be the biggest star in the WNBA, even if she's not the best player. She could be the 10th best player, and she's going to be really marketable because everyone saw her in college. You know, unlike the NBA right now, nobody saw any of these players in college, so nobody cares about them coming to the league. Everybody's going to care about her. Way too much downside for just $5 million. $5 million, by the way, for her, I think she's going to out-earn that easily moving forward.
Up next, results from the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket. You're welcome to weigh in on Caitlin Clark as well, 855-212-4CBS. Would you take the $5 million from the big three, even if it's a bit of a sideshow, or would you stay with the WNBA, stay on the path that's sort of laid out in front of you and not deviate from it? Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Oh, here we go. Okay. One-hit wonder bracket. Every March, in addition to the NCAA tournament bracket, we do a non-basketball bracket. This year, it's one-hit wonders. We should put a warning on the show. They will get stuck in your head. I've been wandering around all week singing Who Let the Dogs Out. My wife's like, you got to stop. But I understand we have some results here, Maggie.
We will have them in just a moment. Hold that thought for 1 second while we go to our pal Rich in Chicago, wants to talk about the NCAA tournament on the men's side. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, guys and gals. I got two quick things for you. One thing that's not being mentioned about Calipari saving his job, and I kind of dug through this thinking, okay, now why would they do that? Because I, like others, think they need to run him off. But he's got the number two class coming in.
Yeah.
On recruiting and no defections, despite his lack of coaching ability. So, and the thing that's funny about that is, and this just kind of blew me away. This is for Perloff. The number one class, as you might suspect, is Duke. They have 5 5 stars.
Mm.
So now, Perloff, you got 5 new guys to hate.
Yeah, that's 25 stars to hate right there. I could do the math. Appreciate that.
Stars. Yeah, Rich. And then the other thing, because it's the Big Ten deal, is Rutgers. It has the number three class in the country now, so go figure that. Rutgers.
Yeah. I know. Well, Steve Peichel's done a fantastic job recruiting. Rich, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. A couple NBAers' sons on those Rutgers teams. Was Ron Harper Jr., I think he's gone at this point, but they've done a good job.
I love that theory that Patino's got this recruiting class. You know, my theory that Jim Harbaugh only got to stay at Michigan because he was tied to J.J. McCarthy when they finally signed a quarterback. So that's as good a reason as I've heard before. Then again, I have heard Kentucky has a bunch of 5 stars and it hasn't resulted in anything. So I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, the recruiting doesn't seem to be the problem for Cal. The recruiting is not the problem. It's the getting out of the first weekend of the tournament.
Right, but if you're a power that be in Kentucky, you do see this class coming in and the $33 million buyout. I felt like the easiest path was like, let's let them hang around.
We don't want to bother with a $33 million buyout.
Yeah, yeah, $33 million buyout. We lose the recruiting class all for Scott Drew. No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay, so we have our Maggie and Perloff March Madness one-hit wonder bracket. This is the round of 32 in the Turn It Up region. So here is looking to make their way to the Sweet 16. It is the number one overall seed in this region, Rapper's Delight.
I said a hip. The hip to the hip, hip hopper, you don't stop the rocker to the bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Okay, that's going up against the eighth seed, I'm Too Sexy.
I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts. And I am too sexy for Milan, too sexy for Milan.
All right.
New York and Japan.
The Pipilotti song.
Everybody was thinking it in their head. Okay, the fifth seed in this region, again, the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders. The fifth seed, this is No Rain by Blind Melon.
All I can do is read a book to stay awake, and it rips my life away, but it's a great escape.
Bogus just giving us eyes.
This song is just so, is too good for this.
Oh, God.
It's too good to be a one-hit wonder.
That goes up against the 13 seed, I Got Five on It. Okay, the 11th seed in the Maggie and Perloff bracket of One Hit Wonders, round of 32. 11th seeded Jump by Kris Kross. And that goes up against the 3 seed, Gangnam Style. How this has not gotten a second life on TikTok is beyond.
Oh my God. I saw someone doing a Gangnam Style dance at a game 2 days ago.
Man, we got
it. Adds a second, third, and fourth life.
This thing is massive. All right, the last matchup, the Maggie Perloff One Hit Wonders round of 32 in the Turn It Up region. 10 seeded, I'm Gonna Be.
But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles.
Okay, and that goes up against the second seed in this region, Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve. We were told by our boss Spike Eskin that Verve fans are going to be upset with us because apparently they had a couple other songs, but we have yet to find any Verve fans, so we think we're in the clear.
This bracket's this is on the weak side of all our brackets. This is, we had some powerhouses yesterday. I feel like somebody's getting set up for the slaughter in the Final Four.
Well, you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. That's the round of 32 in the Turn It Up region. So that will determine who moves on to the Sweet 16. Now, we also have people who have punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. Do we want to do that now or do we want to save that for later? Do it now. We're doing it now, guys. This is the last call region. Now, these are songs that have punched their ticket to the Elite Eight, right? This is the winners of the Sweet 16. This is going to the Sweet 16. Apologies. This is going to the Sweet 16 in the last call region. Here's some winners for you. Number one overall seed in this region moves on. It's Baby Got Back.
Like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up?
Okay, that moves on. Baby Got Back. Also moving on. 99 Luft Balloons, the fifth seed. All right, also advancing in this tournament, 11 seeded Closing Time by Semi.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home.
And finally, the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders, last call region. Who is moving on to the Sweet 16? It's 867-5309.
867-5309, yeah. 867-5309, yeah. 867-5309, yeah.
All right, there you go. We'll have more results for you tomorrow. You can go to @MaggieandPerloff and you can vote for these one-hit wonders. By the way, all of these, like, the voting is thin margins. We're getting buzzer beaters in these in this bracket. 58% to 42, 54 to 45, 51-49. Close games. Close matchups.
Competition increases when you move on in the tournament.
Look at that, right? Andrew Bogish has headlines.
Hello again, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing, Pete?
Looking for your script?
I actually am.
Can we help you
with
that?
Hey, what's up?
I have to be honest. I am overwhelmed by EJ, by the search for Jay. And I'm my screen was boy names that start with Jay.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I don't know how I missed it the first time around, but this is all I've thought about for the last 45 minutes. You can ask EJ. I've come into the room 3 different times with groups of suggestions.
So because everyone's obsessed about figuring out what EJ's middle name is, you've now neglected all of your duties as update man.
Well, no, not all of them. I mean, I'm prepared for the update, except I just had the wrong screen open. But we're on the subject.
Jasper.
Jasper?
No.
Jordan.
Oh.
Jeremiah.
Oh.
Jasper.
No, no, no. I think that's all the guesses you get for right
Jared.
Now.
Jared.
Enough. No.
Jaden.
No, they're all wrong. Let's keep going.
Jagger.
Let's go.
Joel or Joel.
No way.
Stop.
Let's go.
Yeah, so if it was Jagger, that'd be quite the upset.
Yes.
Maybe your parents are big Rolling Stone fans, actually.
And if you actually pronounce it Joel instead of Joel, that would be interesting, too.
I almost spit out my coffee.
Elijah Joel.
Elijah Joel Embiid Stewart.
E-J-E-S.
I'll get to the Dodgers now. They would like you to look over here, away from their possibly gambling superstar. So they made a baseball move yesterday, signing all-star catcher Will Smith to a 10-year, $140 million deal. Smith turns 29 tomorrow, would have been a free agent after next season. The length of the deal helps L.A. spread out the luxury tax charge.
It's actually $1 a year for the next 139 million years.
Nothing going on here, though.
Did they defer this one, too?
No, like this is just, no, not deferred, but just signing a 29-year-old catcher for 10 years makes no sense unless you want to spread out all the money you're going
to
give him.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. He's getting $14 million. I did the math. $14 million a year. 140 divided by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Needed the calculator. That is... I thought the Bat Boys in MLB make $14 million. Dollars. How is a real MLB player only getting that much money?
This should be like a 5-year, $140 million deal.
I've never heard of a deal this small in the MLB. Every deal we do is $36 million for like a backup second baseman. This is crazy money.
Now, it's opening day for almost everybody else. The Dodgers, of course, have already split 2 games with the Padres in South Korea. TMZ Sports asked Mookie Betts yesterday if the Ohtani drama is a distraction for the team.
No. We just focus on business, taking care of business, and that's all we keep first.
Mookie said that while
cards, everything.
Yeah. Convincing.
Mookie said that while he was wearing some Raising Cane's gear. He was working at a restaurant as a charity event yesterday.
Oh, don't tell Schwartz that.
Man, we still have not gotten the Raising Cane's. We talked a big game about it finally opened and Brooklyn, right? Or
there's one near me. Yeah, I mean they're all over the country.
They're new here.
They're in New York.
All yeah, right. There's actually
doing it today.
There's 2 in Manhattan.
How about tomorrow?
I saw one. I actually went by one the other day.
There's one in Times Square Station that's not open yet, and I see it every morning, and I can't wait for it to be ready.
Do it right now.
How about if I was king for a day, and if I was going to win our tournament, I'd make everybody buy me Raising Cane's.
It's a wonderful, wonderful suggestion.
That's great.
What time do they open? It's 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
on the East Coast.
Bit of a problem there.
Do they serve breakfast at this place? Hey, doesn't look like it.
Should.
Fried chicken for breakfast.
That's right.
People just drink that sauce, too. I'm sorry, back to you.
Is that what it is? Is the sauce the thing?
It's like a pinkish sauce, it looks like.
All right. This has got to end. We've been talking about it. We're doing it in the next 48 hours.
I don't really consider it.
Before the weekend.
It. By the way, it's not really fried chicken.
It's like chicken tenders.
Yeah. Chicken tenders.
Right, it's fried. Chicken tenders.
Yeah, but there's a difference between fried chicken and what Raising Cane's has.
Like, there's no bones, right? Is it
KFC? They don't.
Can you
it's not like
a 6-piece.
It's not like Popeyes, right? You can't get.
It's all strips and nuggets.
It's
right?
All strips, as I recall.
Okay, Guy Fieri, you know.
No, but like, there is a difference, like boneless or not.
No, I know, but
he calls Raising Cane's a fried chicken joint.
It's
right?
Still fried chicken. Though.
Definitely fried chicken, but can you get a drumstick?
I
from
don't
there?
Think so.
I think it's an important distinction, Elijah, whatever.
Jezebel.
It's very important.
What did you say in the chat? Gerloff? Like, we're just making it up.
Yeah, Elijah Gerloff.
That's an awful name.
Jeter. Elijah Jeter?
No.
Damn it.
No, I was born before Jeter got to the majors.
That's true. You're not that young.
We're still trying to figure out EJ's middle name. Sorry, back to you, Bogus.
Whatever. I want to do that, not sports. The Dodgers, they host the Cardinals 1 Pacific today. Two openers will not happen today because of rain. Braves, Phillies, Brewers, Mets.
Great.
Will try again tomorrow afternoon. So the Suns can lose to the Spurs without Wemby. They can also win twice this month in Denver.
Now Booker right side gives to Durant. He'll pull up for three and drill it on the right wing. Kevin Durant, 28 points on the night. Suns go up 15 to equal their biggest lead. 98-83.
John Bloom, Suns Radio. KD scored 30 in a 104-97 win in the Mile High City. The Suns bump up to 7th in the West, a half game ahead of the Kings. The Rocket win streak is 10 after a 132-126 OT win in OKC. But Houston stays out of the play-in because the Warriors won in Orlando 101-93 despite Draymond getting ejected in less than 4 minutes. And the T-Wolves handled the Pistons 106-91 for the fifth 50-win season in franchise history. It also moves them into a tie with the Thunder. For the two seed in the West, they're a half game behind those Nuggets. So we spent a lot of time this week on the rule changes coming out of the NFL's annual meetings in Orlando. Not sure this one came up. Hard Knocks getting a facelift, mainly because teams don't want to do it. The in-season version of the show will follow an entire division instead of one team like the Dolphins last season. And the original training camp version now has new procedures for picking a subject. Teams used to be able to turn down the show if they made the playoffs in the previous two seasons. That escape route has now closed. You can only say no now if you have a new coach, if you're going to be on the in-season Hard Knocks that season or the following one, or if you've been on the show in the previous 8 seasons.
Oh, man. That
used
really
to be 10, so they shortened that window as well.
But think about who this opens it up to. I mean, now we're looking at the Chiefs could be in. We're looking at the Bills could be in for training camp Hard Knocks. You're looking at the Ravens.
I keep hearing the Bears as a possibility, too, because of Caleb Williams. Eberflus is not new.
Right.
And they have not been on, I don't think, ever. So people keep, I've seen them mentioned more than once.
Would you rather have the Bears, or would you rather have a team that's made the playoffs consistently that we've never gotten to see?
Oh, Bears by a mile. I want to see Caleb Williams and his pink accessories. This is going to be amazing. You don't usually get to see the number one pick. You had Jared Goff, I think, was number one, and they did him.
Yeah.
But that'd be really cool. The Bears, to me, would be number one. Who would you want to see, Mac?
Well, there's been a lot of teams that have been able to avoid it simply because they've been so good. Maybe San Francisco 49ers.
That's
always seem
to
be a lot of drama around the 49ers quarterback situation in years past.
Well, Baltimore was the first one, and I don't think they've been on since. So maybe Baltimore under Harbaugh now.
Yeah. Cool.
I feel like the well-run teams are less interesting to me. I don't want to see the winners. I want to see the chaotic teams. Because Baltimore probably runs a pretty tight ship over there, I'd imagine.
I'm intrigued by the teams that are run smoothly because I never see it. So, you know.
What does that look like?
Yeah. You've seen a lot of Jets on Hard Knocks. Absolutely fair.
Right.
Oh,
we kind of get a lot of Patriots in our life right now.
Yeah, there's
documentary.
This would be the year to do it.
Kind of interesting.
First year with a new coach, yeah.
Or does the NFL want to dip its toes back into Taylor Swift and put the Chiefs on one of these to maybe get a glimpse of
themselves.
Her again.
You're so right. They cannot help themselves.
That's a three-pointer and the foul.
I'll say this. I think if they do the Chiefs, we will not see any behind-the-scenes Taylor Swift, Travis stuff. Not anything.
Why? They love it.
No. Oh, no. I think that's the line where they'll say, yeah, Taylor just doesn't show up. She's going to be like the white whale, George Steinbrenner and Seinfeld. Like, she's not showing up.
Mm. It seems too
obvious. The back of her head?
Yeah, it seems too obvious to do the Chiefs. You're right.
I think the stuff we see in the public, they'll do. And, like, she's on the field. Like, we're not going to see, oh, she came home to Travis and they sat around and watched, you know, Netflix. Like, those little scenes they have. You are not getting that.
Yeah. Or, like, walking the dog, talking about their life in football.
Exactly.
That's not going
to
happen.
Or, you know, some Mike Duff stuff with her at training camp and, you know, talk to the other wives, no chance.
You would either get none of it or all of it because she would have to probably sign off on a lot.
I mean, it's like another commercial for her. I don't know why she'd say no. And clearly, Travis said he watches Love Is Blind. EJ, your favorite show. You could have Taylor and Travis together watching Love Is Blind.
But Hard Knocks is super desperate. Like they're fighting for their life. So I think a little Taylor Swift, even if you have footage of her from elsewhere, you know, work for the NFL. Maybe that's their, you know, I think Hard Knocks, because there's so much access to all these teams 24 hours a day. I mean, Hard Knocks is nothing different than Instagram right now.
Actually,
so I don't know if they're going to be able to pull up anything here.
You know, you make a great point. Just getting the any glow from Taylor helps. And her live tour is on Disney Plus, so that's not an HBO product. So you're kind of competing. But maybe they should do the division, make it the AFC West, because then you get a little Harbaugh, you get a little Raiders, which is always fun.
The division thing was the thing I was actually more interested to me, trying to think of what division. It's got to be
AFC West would be pretty fun.
But one time, I think the North would be great. And I know the Lions did it very recently. I don't think Dan Campbell will care. I think he'd do it again. But like to me, I think that's going to be a race I think is going to be fascinating between the Packers, another team, never done it before. You get thrown the Vikings, Jettas, and how what's his situation, and how's he behind the closed doors?
The Packers have never been on Hard Knocks, huh?
Nope.
But here's the thing. If you do two teams, you lose the whole Hard Knocks thing. Remember when they did the Chargers and the Rams? Terrible. Worst season ever. Because you couldn't grab onto any characters. I think if you did four, how can you do the guy who's going to get cut? You're not going to have time.
Well, that would be the in-season one, right, bro?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, in-season
one. It's the in-season one for the division.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you start weeks in, too. It doesn't start. I mean, they'll show you week one stuff, but I don't think the cameras show up until, like, week five or something.
But the funny thing is,
they did in the past.
The Colts just do their own, do it anyway. They don't even care. Yeah, like, everybody does this. Yeah. So what's the deal? And that players do it. I mean, yeah, I unfortunately think the day, I used to love Hard Knocks, favorite show. I haven't watched it in years, except for that annoying Aaron Rodgers stuff last year.
Well, but you could say that, and you didn't watch it, but a lot of people watched it.
No, the numbers have not been good.
Okay.
Well, Hard Knocks,
It was every subject of every
show.
Why do
you think they're changing the rules?
I don't think it's because of that season. I think it was because they've been trying to get teams, and they've been trying to avoid it. They just avoided it like the plague last year.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do it, so they had to make it easier for them to force teams to do it. This won't really change ratings. It could, I guess, theoretically team by team, but this is more about making teams have to say yes to them.
They might be better off switching off where one year they do the preseason one, and then the next year they do the in-season one and going like that. It might add a little more juice back into it.
By the way, last year, 13-year viewership
high.
Yeah,
because they had Rodgers. The ratings have been dying.
Right, but I'm saying...
Dying.
So, yeah, and I know. I'm just saying they had a resurgence, so I think they're trying to mix it up a little bit.
Well, think about it. We're talking about Hard Knocks and changing some of the criteria for who will be on the show, and also adding a in-season version that follows a division, not just one team. Think about all the people they missed out on. You never did Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay because they kept making the playoffs. You never had Tom Brady in New England because they kept making the playoffs. You know, Peyton Manning, has he ever been on a Hard Knocks? I'm sure no.
No.
So, unfortunately, those kind of rules...
Well, they didn't have those rules back then,
no,
right?
They did.
They did.
If you made the playoffs, you didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, going all the way back to 2000?
Yep. And that's why I think, unfortunately, of course, you know, things could trail off a little bit because the star power clearly helps. Like, Aaron Rodgers clearly gives you a bump.
Yeah. Because a lot of times you're following teams that are, like... Now, I'm sure the Ocho Cinco seasons were awesome, and those probably did really well because the Bengals are were a really fun team. But look, usually you're following a sad sack team. Like, you found the Dan Campbell Lions in year one. Like,
although the Cowboys did it twice.
And yeah, because Jerry of the doesn't
Cowboys,
care.
Speaking of the Cowboys, thank you, Bogish. Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy explains why he isn't feeling the pressure this season, but should he be? We tackle that next in our Cowboy Quickie. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, that's our cowboy quickie music, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Checking on the Cowboys today. We check in on Mike McCarthy, who is speaking to the media from the owners' meetings. Let's hear cut two, please. Mike McCarthy says he doesn't feel any added pressure given the fact that the Cowboys never extended his contract. He's going into a lame duck year.
I don't see it as more pressure. I think it's just the reality of our industry. I mean, that's what it is. So, those are business decisions, and those are really personal.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy says he takes the same approach to his teams every year, no matter what his contract situation is.
You know, the approach is always the same. I mean, we're all given an excellent opportunity to coach, 2024 Dallas Cowboys, and no one's more engaged in that than we are. So the financial component, everybody's different in that realm, but, regardless of where you're on a contract. So.
All right, and finally, Mike McCarthy says, don't feel bad for him. He's not worried about himself. He has more concern for younger coaches and their job status.
Now, when I look at the younger coaches, I worry more about them than I do about myself because I know where I am in my career. But the reality of it is, if you don't take the same approach every year, you're really looking at it the wrong way. So your financial structure should not deter from your approach to the season.
Mike McCarthy, that's your Cowboy Quickie.
Yeah, what was that? Was that us or was that McCarthy?
Yeah, that was us.
Oh, okay.
The world will never know. Mike McCarthy also saying, Perloff, that he doesn't feel the pressure to do more with less, like what Jerry Jones had said when he completely reversed course from all in to now more with less after the Cowboys essentially sat out free agency.
Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to say? Because they really have no choice. Obviously, all this hinges on what they do with Dak, but I'm looking at this Dak situation. Are the Cowboys doing anything to create enough salary cap space to really change the face of this team? No, they keep on getting stuck in these bad situations. He has no choice. There's nothing. What's he supposed to say? They're screwed with the salary cap as is. They're not going to. They obviously did nothing this free agency. The poor management is actually coming to light. The poor cap management.
Oh yeah,
which surprised me because they've been a really good drafting team. But the problem with being a good drafting team is you have to be really clever how you pay these guys. And now I think they're just too late. It's too late to do anything. And you saw that all in was obviously a farce.
Yeah, that was just something designed to try to ease the pain of the Cowboy fan after losing in a devastating style to the Green Bay Packers when you're a touchdown favorite at home and you have Super Bowl expectations. The thing is about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy, I'm never going to say that he's going to lose his job because if last year's exit out of the postseason wasn't enough to push you out the door, I don't know what's going to be.
But he won 12 games.
Right. So they're over under in the early win totals is what, 10.5? I don't think the Cowboys, if they get a deal done with Dak or not, no matter what happens, I don't see them falling off this major cliff where all of a sudden now they're a 5-win team. Unless some devastating injury happens. Right. I think you're still looking at a team with double-digit wins. I think Jerry will always have a cover to bring him back. We saw this with Jason Garrett for years.
I'd be surprised if they got to 12 wins again this year. You're right. It is a pretty high win total. Does it feel like they've taken a step back from last year? Well, because everyone else has taken a step up. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, but again, and you always remind me of this, what you do in March is, you win March, good for you. It does not translate to December.
Right, but they have such big needs to stop the run. They can't stop the run. So they needed to add linebackers and interior linemen. Instead, we find out that their first-round pick of last year, Mozzie Smith, is recovering from shoulder surgery. Tight end Luke Schoonmaker also recovering from shoulder surgery. So they needed some help to shore up the middle, and they did nothing. And they lost Tyron Smith. They lost a lot of guys.
Well, maybe they're hoping the addition of Mike Zimmer as a defensive coordinator, somebody who, Dan Quinn is a very good defensive coordinator. Now he's moved on to be the head coach of Washington. But, Mike Zimmer, his ability to stop the run is kind of like what he hangs his hat on.
Ooh, yeah, it's going to be tough with this personnel. Dan Quinn that bad against the run? Actually, I don't see the number. It's not like he was awful against the run. He's one of the best defensive coordinators we've ever seen. So I worry about the personnel.
Aaron
here.
Jones really got him in that playoff game. That one was bad. But listen, they also were Dan very Quinn thin.
He held Peyton Manning to 8 points at a Super Bowl. He transformed. He took the worst defense in the league and improved them at 32 at Dallas in 2019 to like 8 the next year.
Yeah, I know, but you're right. He is a very good defensive coordinator. But again, they're bringing in Mike Zimmer, not just because they're familiar with him and the Cowboys, but I think for this specific reason.
But he's definitely a step down from Dan Quinn. That's just my opinion.
So quickly, we have vowed on this show that within the next 48 hours, we will finally eat Raising Cane's, which is open in New York recently. Mitch is in Northwest Arkansas. He's got a thought for us. Good morning, Mitch.
Hey, good morning. Woo Pig Suey from here in Northwest Arkansas. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. What's in your mind?
The big take here is Raising Cane's, you got to try it. It's the ultimate stick-it-to-the-man story. The legend goes, he pitched it to his college professor there at LSU. They said, no, it'll never work. He said, hold my beer, watch this. I'm going to cook some chicken fingers. Y'all want some?
I love those stories, Mitch. Thank you so much for telling us. The chicken will taste even sweeter now. I love those stories, and I also find that once people get rich and make it big, you generally find that story in their past. It's rare the person gets rich and they're like, everyone believed in me the whole way. They told me my idea was awesome. And they said it was great. No one ever stepped in my way. No, usually there's a naysayer, there's a hater that puts a chip on someone's shoulder.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of the Chipotle story. You're right. There's always, but I don't know. I don't like these guys who invent these companies in college. I'm so jealous of them. That's a story. You're right. That is the restaurant story. It's always like a thesis project. It's like, what if we made affordable Mexican food?
$1 billion
later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.